live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google+, Neil Haley, and on Periscope, at TotalTutor. And the biggest news coming out is next week. Next week, the new Peanuts movie, the Peanuts movie. And people are talking about it. Good morning, America, all the major talk show hosts. So I know that we're trying to get Hadley Bell Miller on the line. Is Hadley on the line?
Yep.
Oh,
I'm
fantastic.
Right here.
Yeah, so I'm excited to welcome you again, celebrity Hadley Bell Miller. She's going to play Lucy in the Peanuts movie. Hadley, thanks for calling, and how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm sure you're just so excited to have this opportunity, aren't you?
Yes, it's so amazing. It's been so much fun.
Absolutely, for sure. So let's kind of go back to how you got started in acting and also in music and all that stuff. Did you always want to be an actor growing up, like when you're younger? How did this all come up, start and stuff? Tell us about it.
Yeah, my first show was actually You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, but I played Sally Brown, and that's really what got me started with acting and singing. And then maybe 3 years later, I auditioned for the Peanuts movie, and I got the part of Lucy, so it was really exciting.
Oh, absolutely. So I guess first studying Charlie Brown and being in that play, were you a fan of that before auditioning to do that, to do the Charlie Brown play? Did you know a lot about Charlie Brown and all that before that?
Well, I had seen some of the specials, like the Great Pumpkin and the Christmas special.
Right.
So I knew a little bit about Charlie Brown in the game, but now I know a lot more since I've gotten the part.
Oh, absolutely. You probably went back and looked in different things. It's one of the biggest things in our house is the Great Pumpkin Christmas special. Every year, I have 5 kids, Hadley, and every year, we've seen it 20 times, especially my oldest, who's 10, okay, we're going to go watch this, and we watched it last night, and I was saying, oh, by the way, you know who I'm interviewing tomorrow? So I was telling my daughter, Ava, I said, I'm interviewing Lucy tomorrow. Really? Are you kidding me? So it's very interesting. It's kind of a really strange coincidence, many different coincidences. Shout out to Wexford's post office when I went to get stamps yesterday. Also, guess what stamps they gave me? Peanut stamps. So the Peanut stamps. So I told the lady, I said, by the way, you know, I'm interviewing Lucy tomorrow. Oh, can you mention our post office? I forgot her name, what she was saying. So it's such a classic for people for so many years in so many ways. So when you first did the play, you never thought you'd be on the big screen as the voice of Lucy, did you? When that happened the first time.
Definitely not. I had never even imagined this, but I'm so glad that I got the opportunity to audition.
Definitely. So you said, that was the start with the Charlie Brown play. After that, did you kind of see that, you know, you had talent of singing and dancing and acting, and then what else did you go do after that? Like, that opportunity came, and then you said, okay, I really want to do this. What was your next step after that in your career?
Well, after that, I did Sound of Music, and I loved acting in that and singing. And then after Sound of Music, I went on to a national tour of Kathy Rigby as Peter Pan for 4 months. And I really enjoyed that. So when I got back, I auditioned for the Peanuts movie.
So you did a national tour. Wow. So your career just took off very quickly. Were you studying acting your whole life before that, like when you were younger than that? Or just it's kind of like you were a natural? How old were you when you did the Charlie Brown theater experience? How old were you, Hadley?
I was 7 years old in that play, and I auditioned for the movie when I was 8.
Oh, wow. And how old are you now?
I'm 11 now.
Okay, so it took some time for that movie to come out. Oh, wow.
It took over 2 years.
Over 2 years of keeping it quiet, hush-hush, right, Hadley? Just going about promotions and things. So, but it's interesting, like, did you dance when you were 5 and 4, or did you do any other types of stuff before you got really into acting?
Yeah, when I was When I was little, I did dance, and then I started taking singing lessons, and I really got started on singing and fell in love with that. And then I started acting, and now it's my career, basically.
So it's amazing. You know, you start in commercials at three, especially with your kind of story now being 11, but meaning you started your career, some people with commercials at two or as a baby or different things like that. That didn't happen. So once you did that play and you said, okay, this is the talent I have, did your parents say, you know what, did somebody tell you you're really good and you need to audition for more stuff, and then that's what happened? It's so interesting to hear these stories because you know, Hadley, how parents – we have the next big thing. You know, they prepare them at five saying, oh, they're going to be on Broadway or they're going to get something, certain thing like that. It doesn't seem like that was the kind of story that your parents and how your family directed your career. It's kind of like it just happened and they said, you have talent, and then you just went forward. Am I correct?
Yeah. I'm so happy that everybody believed in me and everybody was very supportive, my friends, my family, and I just knew that I had a talent, so I kept going.
Interesting. So The Sound of Music. Did you always have a great voice? I mean, to be in The Sound of Music, who did you play in The Sound of Music?
I played Gretel because I was 7 years old, and that was my first Equity performance. So that was a really big part for me. It was really exciting. That was probably the biggest thing I'd done so far then.
So did you have any voice lessons at that point in time, or is it mostly natural talent singing?
I hadn't started voice lessons yet, but after Sound of Music, that's when I started because I really believed that I had a talent, and my family did too.
Was your family surprised? And said, this is when they said, okay, we didn't think you, like, were you always singing when you were 3 and 4 and things like, I mean, I imagine my daughter Ava, my oldest, who is a cantor in the choir, and she's really a good singer, and I want to continue to give her opportunities for sure. But you know how many just audition for just one part and not, and just a local thing. Intensity and when you're 5 and 6, did people say, you know what, you have this. It's just, is it a natural talent you have, Hadley, in your performing, do you think?
Yes, I think so, because I wouldn't say that I got my talent from my parents. No offense to them.
You mean they weren't actors or anything? I understand it completely. But it's such a surprise because, and you'll find out more and more you get in new performances and acting, you'll find out some of these people, like I said, were in commercials at 2 or 3, were doing voice lessons at 5. So even at The Sound of Music, you didn't. So after The Sound of Music, that's when you decided to start doing voice lessons and acting lessons, correct? Right after that? Is that
Yeah. Sound of Music, that's when I started singing professionally.
Nah. Wow. So from there on, you said you toured. So that must have been amazement when they asked you to do this, right, when you auditioned for that. How many people auditioned? This is a great thing for our listeners out there because some are parents, but also are kids. As I'll share this a lot with a lot of students that I tutor and things. How many people auditioned for just that part alone to go tour for that time period, for that 3 months?
Maybe 20.
I don't know the exact number.
I'm guessing it was around there.
Yeah, and so after The Sound of Music, what was that play called you said you did the tour with?
It was Peter Pan with Kathy Rigby.
Oh, yeah, Peter Pan. And what did you play in Peter Pan?
I played Michael Darling, and I had to cut 14 inches of my hair off.
Oh, wow. So, interesting. So, after that, did you guys relocate after this experience of getting Peter Pan, or are you still living where you grew up?
I still live in the same place. So I did 4 months of touring, and then I went back home, auditioned for the movie, and I've been doing that for the last 2 years.
Very interesting. And what made it so when you first heard you're gonna audition for the voice of Lucy. The Peanuts movie must have some differences in specific ways, because we're all used to Lucy's voice when Lucy, you know, like 30, 40 years ago when the cartoons came out and stuff. So when you heard about the movie, you heard about auditioning and everything like that, there must have been, you must have to have specific roles playing Lucy that were a little, that it'll be different when people see it next week when it comes, when the movie comes out November 6th, that's different, right? You'll see kind of differences with Lucy, right?
Yeah. Everybody who's played Lucy has had a slightly different voice. And I think that's what's really cool about it. You get to see Lucy evolve over the years, which is really cool. And I'm super excited to be playing the newest version of Lucy.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. So when you heard the audition that and you got the part, did you have to keep it hush-hush for a while once they said, hey, you're the Lucy, and you started to do the shoot, the recording and filming and everything? Could you say anything to anybody, or was it pretty much hush-hush?
I couldn't tell anybody for about a year. It was the hardest thing I'd ever have to do, ever.
It sounds like it. And now you're just like, it's a whirlwind for you to know next week it's coming out. You know, you're probably like, holy cow. And
yes,
I've
been working on this for about 2 years. And now it's finally coming out. It's so exciting.
And during that time period, have you been auditioning and acting in other things since getting that part? Have we?
Yeah, I've been auditioning for plenty of things. I've been auditioning for more voiceover, commercials, theatrical. So I just keep auditioning.
Have you been doing any other projects during that time period? Any, like, things, have you got any voice, other credits, or you've been doing more acting on play acting and stuff? What have you been doing lately in the last couple of years?
I've been doing some concerts and singing in them for a while I've been doing the movie, and I have been auditioning and just getting into singing.
Exactly. So tell us about the process. Of doing the film, how many months did that take to make and do all the voiceovers of it and stuff? How long is that process? How does that go about when you go into a studio and stuff, compared to, you know, film acting where they're seeing you, you're doing the voice? Tell us how that kind of works.
Well, when I go into the booth, it's the director and me, and the director will tell me what's going on in the scene, and he'll help me decide how to say the line or how to be feeling. So it's a lot different than live action, because you have to memorize the lines and you have to worry about the costumes and the lighting. Oh. I love both, but I think that's a really great part about voiceover. You don't have to worry what you look like, and you could just come as you are.
So you come into like a recording studio kind of when you go and do it? Yeah. And do you see the are you just basically reading? You're not able to see what the character looks like from the cartoon part of it. Not at all.
No, not at all. I think they created how the mouths moved by watching my mouth, because I know that there was a camera there when I was recording, so I think that's how it worked. And I think they created how the characters' mouths moved from how the voice actors' mouths moved.
How many hours a day did you do the recording for till it was finished?
I did 3 hours of recording and 3 hours of school. So I would get breaks, of course, but I would have a lot of fun with the director. And as Steve Martino, the director, called it, we would play with the lines. So I thought that was fun, because it's just like recess.
Exactly. So you were getting tutored on set during the time period that you were doing the recording. It was not in your hometown where you were doing the recording. You were on set, correct? Where they were doing the recording? Yeah.
I had a set teacher, and I'm really glad, because school is very important in my family. and you have to get a good education. So I love doing school on set. It was really fun.
And you were used to Peter Pan because you had to have tutors throughout that performance, going through traveling from town to town. You had tutors as well, so you were kind of used to that process, correct?
Yes.
Of going and having some school for a few hours. So how does that work, especially on something like Peter Pan or even the Peanuts, the movie? You basically had a tutor that comes and instructs you in all the subjects, correct, that you're missing when you're being in school with. Gotcha.
Yeah, the set teacher will travel with us wherever we go, and we'll do 3 hours of school at some point in the day, and then for the rest of the day we'll be working, recording, or going on stage to do Peter Pan, for example.
And then for the Peanuts, the movie, the same thing. How many kids, how many of the other actors on set that came for recordings need a tutor? Lucy,
it's required to have school, so I think everybody had to do school for at least 3 hours a day.
Right.
And there are about 10, 12 kids in the cast.
Okay.
Half are from California and half from New York. So I don't know how it works for the people in New York, but that's what we here did in California.
Gotcha. So whoever that set tutor teacher there that's on set, they basically would work with all of you in a variety of ways individually based on what grade level you're currently in school or homeschooled. Hadley, are you in school or are you homeschooled?
I go to public school, and I really love going to public school because I get to hang out with all my friends. But if I need to, I also like to be tutored.
Gotcha, especially if there's a lot of auditions and busyness in your schedule and different things like that. It's interesting to understand that world, Hadley, because I own a tutoring consulting company and I tutor kids, and I just finished up before we were doing this live interview. I was tutoring some kids today and telling them about you and stuff. So he just tweeted me out and said, "Oh, how cool!" And what I gather is that it's nice to have that one-on-one atmosphere, but you like being in school. So now with everyone knowing that you're Lucy, how excited is the school right now for you? They got to be excited.
Everybody in the school and my friends, everybody is really supportive, and I'm really happy of that because it wouldn't be very fun to go to school and people not being excited for you. So all my friends are very supportive, and I love them for that.
All right, so I can't wait to talk a little bit about Lucy before I let you go. I appreciate you taking the time today, especially your busy schedule. Next week's the premiere. The premiere again is, so it's November 6th. Am I correct? The date for
the premiere is November 1st, but the movie comes out in theaters on November 6th.
November 6th. Okay. So, what are you doing for the premiere? Are you going to be at the premiere for November 1st?
Yeah. I'm going to be walking the red carpet, which is really exciting because I never got to do that before, and I'm just super excited.
Oh, I'm sure, for sure. And where's the premiere? Where are you going to? California? For the premiere?
Yeah, premiere's in California.
Awesome. And you know, especially when you see, like, the success of this could take your career off big time. Because think of, again, some of the other films, that have just taken off, like Frozen. What if this, because this is a cult classic, takes off in the theaters? This is going to be a great calling card for you to get other opportunities, singing and everything. So let's go to Lucy for a second. My favorite part always with Lucy is the football part, where he
throws
the football brown. I mean, I can't imagine how many different episodes they did that. So I know we can't spoil different things for sure, but why do you torment Charlie Brown so much, Lucy? Just giving you that character thing. Why do you think that Lucy torments Charlie Brown so much from playing that character?
I think she torments Charlie Brown because she's trying to be helpful, but she doesn't want to show any weakness, possibly. So she tries to be strong by teasing him and tormenting him.
And so you go ahead and do that, and that's interesting. And what have you learned from studying Lucy, the character, since knowing, watching it when you were 7 to now at 11? What do you think? How would you define Lucy? I'm giving you some tough questions, but how would you define Lucy as a character for people to love, hate, you know, in different things based on her character?
Well, Lucy is definitely a leader and a boss, and she stands up for what she believes in. She's definitely not afraid to speak her mind, even if she can come across a little rude at times.
Yeah, and so basically that's the whole fun thing about it, for sure, with Lucy, is how Lucy's able to, you know, be a leader, yet pretty tough at times. And would you say anything that you model after Lucy at all? In your opinion, what would you say how you are part of that character? Because, again, as an actress, you have to play part of that character, and some of it is really you in certain ways. Would you say, especially getting up in front of people when you weren't a, you know, trained actor, and to get this opportunity in Peter Pan, then now, again, the Peanuts movie, your gifted talent, you just didn't have any fear, did you, to do this?
Thank you.
Yeah, wouldn't you agree? And that's where I think it models you and Lucy. You weren't afraid, right, to get those opportunities and to try things. And so is that how you kind of think of yourself as Lucy in ways?
Yeah, Lucy stands up for what she believes in, and she's smart, and I am not afraid to speak my mind, just like Lucy, unless, of course, I don't want to come off rude. So I try to say it in the nicest way.
Exactly. And you're not that, so that's not you, because we can tell you're very sweet, and I'm keeping yourself grounded. After the premiere and everything like that, how is your family keeping you grounded, Hadley, so that you don't get some sort of, you know, how some of the child actors and how they get this kind of, while I was just in this big film, how does your family kind of keep you back, take you back to who you are as a person before these opportunities?
Well, they're putting me back in school, which I'm excited to go back, but at the same time, I'm sad that it's all over. But I'm hoping for a Peanuts too.
Hey, I'm telling you, that would be great. And then, Hadley, I hope you'll speak with me, especially when this takes off, because I will be hitting it through social media big time and constantly, and they'll be writing a magazine article on you through one of my syndication and all these different things, keep tweeting you out. But I just hope that we're going to continue to hear more about Hadley Bell Miller in her continued career. So now this is something you got to get used to. Where can we connect with you in all the different social media places and find more information on you? Because, again, this is something before, when you were just a stage actor, you really didn't have to do much social media. But now with the film, it's time to really do it. So where can we find the best places to find you?
You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Miss Hadley Bell. And on my website, HadleyBellMiller.com. And just check me out. I'd be really happy to talk to you again.
And also, Hadley, where are you located? Where do you live? Are you near California, or are you in California, or where do you live?
Yeah, I live in Huntington Beach, California. So I live near the beach, which is awesome, and I just get to hang out with my friends and go to the beach whenever I want.
Well, fantastic.
Unless you want me.
Yeah, so, well, keep grounded. My family and I, we're going to go to the movie next week. We can't wait. And I hope to hear there'll be a Peanuts the movie too. And maybe this will be a big thing, voiceover acting. And, you know, you'll be in a lot of other films as well. And good luck. Continue with your singing career and on stage and all the different things. And I'm sure you'll be auditioning, but putting this on your resume. And once this gets out, look out for Hadley Bell Miller. So thanks again for calling, Hadley.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Have a good day. All right.
You too.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, bye. All right, that was the Total Celebrity Show. We will again be live on Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Take care, everyone. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Total Celebrity Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google+, Neil Haley, and also on Periscope, at Total Tutor. And I'm excited always with interesting celebrities especially from Persona PR, and I'm excited to welcome the program celebrity, Anna Grace Barlow. Anna Grace, thanks for calling, and how are you?
Oh, my gosh, I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I tell you, you have a lot of projects going on right now, especially that have gone on or have been in the last 3 months, so it's been pretty exciting for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's been crazy. I still feel so weird, like, talking about anything because I don't know who okays me to be able to do cool things like this, but it's really, really exciting and really cool.
Oh, absolutely. So let's talk, first of all, why did you become an actor? What got you into acting? Tell us a story.
I started in musical theater. So I was doing kind of community theater in my hometown in Birmingham, Alabama. And I just grew up doing it and fell in love with it and wanted to go to school for it. So I actually moved from Birmingham to New York and studied musical theater for 1 year. And then I came out to LA to visit and absolutely fell in love with it. And so I started taking film acting classes out here and just, I felt like this was where I was supposed to be. And then I worked really hard for a while, and then pretty soon cool things started to happen. So that's sort of how I got into it.
So musical theater definitely prepared you for what you're doing today, even though you're still doing theater. It kind of was a great preparation to get to LA, wasn't it, in a lot of ways? Because when you do theater, there's one take, and that's it. So
right. You're
used to these 1,000 different takes, and you really become the ability to monitor and adjust and change styles throughout based on whoever the audience of your performance. And you get lots
right. More
opportunities, in my opinion, to really stretch your character at times because you never know what can happen in the theater, right?
Exactly, right. And it's been an adjustment because in the theater, if you kind of flub a line or thing, you have to find a way to keep going. Or, you know, if your scene partner kind of does something unexpected or, you know, if one of you messes up, you have to roll with the punches and find a way to keep going. But with film, and I found that, like, at the beginning, like, when I first started doing film work, I would kind of do that and try to roll with whatever I had started doing. And they'd be like, cut, you know, if you mess up, you can just kind of stop and we'll just start over instead of, like, keeping on going like I learned to do in theater. So it was definitely an adjustment at first.
And when I interview people that are also doing theater, it's much easier for them to perform at times. They're not so stuck to a script. I think that's important as well, is that you basically can be studying theater. You teach yourself in a lot of ways that you have to just go with the flow. And that's when I interview people
right. That
are in theater as well. It's much easier interviews because, you know, you're live, but you're like, oh, I'm used to this all the time. When sometimes you interview
right. Just
actors that don't do theater, they just are so stuck into having to have a script. And I think being unscripted is very important, especially when you're auditioning. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And another difference is that a difference in TV is that the writers like when you say the correct words. So that was an adjustment for me because I would want it to act like they tell you to do in theater and just kind of go for the intention. But the writers in television are like, just kind of, you know, look down at the page. You don't have to, like, act the whole time. We want you to get the words right. So, yeah, it's an adjustment. It goes both ways, you know.
I guess in definitely ways, but I think it's important. So let's talk about all your projects. But first I wanted to ask you, before that, what do you think your biggest break coming to LA? Was it all the stuff coming up now, or was there something before that was a groundbreaking thing that's led to a lot of your success right now?
That's a great question. I came out here and I worked at a coffee shop 2 years ago, and I was auditioning and getting really close on things but never booking anything for about 6 months. And then I auditioned for a national tour of a musical and, like, from here, and wound up booking it. And so I actually left and went on tour for, like, you know, 6 months and then came back. And I was, you know, discouraged because I had never booked any film work in the 6 months I had been working so hard before. But I decided to give LA another chance. And my first audition back in LA after tour, I booked, which was Scream on MTV, the Scream pilot. So that was probably my biggest break in, because I had worked so hard for a lot of months and nothing had really happened. And it kind of was a good welcome back to LA, like, made me feel like I was definitely supposed to be here.
So tell us about that, because, you know, I'm a huge fan of Scream. And I was reading your bio that it really interested me, because the fact is it was such an iconic classic horror film. I think it's the last of the horror films that really kind of reminded me of the 80s, kind of reminded me of really of something where you're waiting and waiting and then jump out of your seats. I think that horror has changed in so many ways from that. You think of the days of Friday the 13th I grew up with, and Freddy Krueger and Michael Myers, and, you know, where, hey, okay, we're waiting for that major character, which was the Scream Hood, to come and jump out. So when you got the opportunity to study this, it's pretty interesting for you, right, to look at, I guess, the history of horror in that way.
Yeah, and it's really funny. I actually am terrified of horror movies, and the only time I never watched them voluntarily, like at home, but I took film classes in high school where I had to watch, you know, like all of the classic scary movies, and that is the only context that I would watch a scary movie is when I was going to be tested on it. So it was really interesting for me to like work in horror, like, you know, with Scream Queens and with Scream, because I have been so afraid of that genre, like watching it for so long, that I definitely did, you know, research. My little sister is obsessed with horror movies, so I asked her a bunch of questions and got as much information as I could without really terrifying myself alone by watching all of them.
So this, I guess, dates me, Anna Grace, is that when you look at specifically enough horror films and certain aspects, like, you know, when I talk about, let's say, just Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street. So did you watch some of those films? Because that's what reminds me of Scream. I guess that's why I really was into Scream. And I guess that was the last of them. I just see these new ones, and I'm like, and I know I'm never going to badmouth it for you because you could be working one of those one day. But for me, who sees the lack of intelligence sometimes, or the lack of really, we don't, the way we used to scare people and the way we had character development, it was, did you get to watch all the Nightmares on Elm Street? Did you watch a lot of those films to kind of understand
I watched one in film class. And so I totally get what you're talking about. And the way that Scream works is, like, the TV show is very important to them to keep what you're talking about in the television series. So I'm glad that you were excited about it. I'm glad that it turned out good.
Well, so that's the kind of stuff that I like. And so if I see things going, and I've talked to a lot of horror writers as well about, meaning ones that are saying the days of this genre for sure. So that was just a pilot, correct, Scream? It didn't get picked up, did it?
Did get picked up. It did picked up. The season, it was like 10 or 12 episodes. And I was like in two of them. I was in the first one. I was played the younger version of the mom on the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and got to work with, like, you know, the Scream face, you know, person.
Yeah.
And I feel like I knew some behind-the-scenes stuff, and I have a friend who's super into the horror movie scene who, like, was asking me all these questions, like, what does the new mask look like? What is it like? And she was like, I felt so cool that I had all this information that I, of course, did not give away, but, you know, I just thought it was really cool that it was such an anticipated thing, and I got to be a part of the pilot. It was really cool.
Absolutely. So that led into the Scream Queen. And tell me about that, and I'd be getting that phone out of Fox. And that's soon debuting, right? Correct? So tell us about, I know that's one that's really making you excited, meaning I just want to know more about it, because I know it's very successful, very popular, and you're going to be part of this. So explain how long it's been around and stuff like that for our listeners or people like me. They're learning pop culture every day because of specific things. Go ahead. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that they just aired episode 6. And my main stuff was sort of in the beginning of the season, but it kind of centers around, it seems like they've been marketing it for forever. And it was April that I actually filmed my part of the pilot, which is a flashback. It's about, so the show centers around a modern day sorority where a bunch of murders are happening.
Okay.
And they're trying to figure out who is killing all these people. And there's a flashback to 1995 in the same sorority. And so in the pilot, they kind of make you know that the 1995 storyline is something that's causing today's problems. So I am just the head mean girl of the sorority girls in 1995. So we got to do this big long scene that we did in multiple parts. But basically, we let our friend die in the bathtub during a party because she's having a baby and we don't want to take her down the stairs in front of all the people at the party. So we go and dance to waterfalls and we leave her there to die. And we actually got to work with Jamie Lee Curtis, which was a dream come true.
Yeah.
I really regret because she, you know, Freaky Friday was like my life when I was, you know, in high school and middle school. And I just, my biggest regret in life is not asking her what Chad Michael Murray is like. But anyways, we got to work with her and she was so cool and so nice. And basically we buried this girl's body and we turned out to be terrible people. But there are a lot of questions that people have about our relation to the girls in today's sorority. So those have yet to be answered. But it's kind of cool that like our storyline is like kind of important to the show.
Yes.
So we're all really stoked about it. Yeah.
So did it? So did your episode air already? The one
I was in a few. I still have a couple yet to air, but I think 1, 2, and 4 I am in, and they just aired 6. So I think I'm in 1 or 2 more in the season. But
okay, so you were 1, 2, 4. But again, all we have to do in this day and age, Anna Grace, is this is great promotions. Go DVR. Go into your DVR. Go into your back office and find Fox and find Scream Queen, and probably get to watch those episodes of you. There you go.
Yes, do it. Yes
I'm gonna check it out for sure. See, that's the nice thing about busy people nowadays, that everything is available for them in on demand. So there you go. And then it goes to Netflix. So there's plenty of times to promote this still, for sure. Okay, so that's exciting. And so, well, I guess your newer episodes, you got to wait to see when they happen. So you'll have to, check out and then stay on your social media and hit it up when that happens. But that show, that's great about Jamie Lee Curtis. Lesson learned anytime. Ask the most famous people questions when you have the opportunity. I've learned that from interviewing lots of very interesting people. I kick myself when I've never asked the questions that I want to ask because you say you might never get a chance to see them again or a long time down the line. So let's go from there to the film that you were in this summer, again, Summer Forever. Tell us about that, and then I want to get to your Broadway because I know that's really something that really made you excited about what you did this summer as well. Let's go to Summer Forever.
Okay, so Summer Forever, I got to do with Megan Nicole, who is a singer, a very talented singer who got her start on YouTube, and Allison Stoner, who is like a household name. She's like this amazing, has danced forever with Missy Elliott and stuff when she was little. It was a dream to work with both of them, as well as Ryan McCartan and Cody Johns. And basically the movie was just about, you know, it's centered around 3 friends, and I always said that it's like a cross between Crossroads and Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Right.
And it was really fun to film, and we're all actually friends in real life, so it worked really well, and I think that it shows through in the film that we actually really, really get along and love each other. And the whole film kind of centered around how important it is to stand up for your girlfriends and to be a good friend, and it was it's a really great message in that movie, and I love that people are enjoying it. You can get it on iTunes and Google Play and Amazon. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think other places.
That's the place so far, but that is, it will be available on Netflix as well at one point in time. But
what they've said, but hopefully soon.
The thing. What I wanted to say is that I keep forgetting this, that you guys can live on forever. I've worked with one of my friends that's was on a TLC series, and then it goes to Europe. It just never ends because of the way this business works. And with social media, your parts, you can continue to, you know, market different shows you've been on for a long period of time. It just keeps it going.
Yeah.
And then you go to another audition and say, oh, I saw you, Anna Grace, all over social media, and I saw you're in this. Well, we're going to put you at the top of the list for this part because they don't want to.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
So think of the casting. Here's what they think casting directors some ways. Some of them, especially when you're going in this, and I just think of it as my way when I book celebrity interviews. If they haven't been in anything that's worthwhile, they go to the bottom of the list. If they've been in something that's relevant in some way, even if it's just a small part, I'm sure that you go ahead of some of the people, especially if you have the right part. So that's what leads to the next big opportunity. As I talk to so many people, so they get to their big, big shot. So it's a lot of exciting things. But Broadway, again, going on Broadway must have been amazing, wasn't it? So,
well,
I mean, I'm talking about all these different projects. And then this one, and is this something where you look at this as something you want to do more than the other acting? Is this something you want that you would love to be forever on Broadway? Or do you like the Hollywood scene too much to be a Broadway person all the time?
Yeah, well, that's interesting because I grew up doing theater. It's been like a dream since I was a little girl to be on Broadway. So, of course, I would never turn down that opportunity. And this show was not on Broadway yet, but the team is a big Broadway team, and it's got Broadway dreams for sure for the 2016-2017 Broadway season. And I guess my thing is that I fell in love with Los Angeles. And I just love acting, period. And because I love Los Angeles, it works really well that I get to act out here. So I guess, you know, I like New York for short amount of time. But I just love L.A. so much. I would not say no to being on Broadway ever.
So with the Broadway series, you basically were touring Broadway series somewhere else, correct? Is that what you were doing for two weeks?
Right. No. It was in New York, but it's basically it's called a Broadway lab where they're developing it for Broadway. So they just kind of make changes, and we have like a production of it that's, you know, no costumes or anything. But the lab lasted a month, and we had done a bunch of readings before that. It's interesting because you see Broadway shows go up and you don't know that they've been in development for like years. So if this show did go to Broadway in 2016, 2017, it would have been being developed for 4 years. And I know, like, with a cast. But I know that it was written in 2009. So those Broadway shows go through years of development.
Okay.
And all this stuff until they wind up on Broadway. But I would love for this show to go to Broadway. And apparently it's going to, but I don't know for sure. But I would love that. So
what was the show's name? What was it called? The one you played in New York.
Right now, it's called Untitled Prom Musical, but they just started calling it Prom, so maybe it's going to be called Prom. But the director is Casey Nicholaw, who assistant directed or co-directed Book of Mormon and directed Aladdin.
Oh, wow.
And this year's Something Rotten, and then this upcoming year's Tuck Everlasting. He's got a Broadway show in every season. So working with him was crazy. And then Matt Sklar and Chad Beglin wrote the music and the book for the show. And they wrote Elf, the musical. They wrote the musical version of Elf, the movie. Yeah, and Wedding Singer. So this just, the team is crazy incredible. So it would be a dream to be a part of it all the way to Broadway.
Well, so you have dreams of Broadway. You have dreams of getting a major part in a major film. You have dreams to get on main spot on a television show. So you have a lot of areas to vary for sure. And with your singing ability, that also can lead to other things as well with the musical. So you never know if you're doing voiceover or would you ever think of backup singing ever, Anna Grace?
Right.
Is that anything you ever think about doing as well? Backup singing? Never thought of that.
I would love to backup sing. I would love to backup sing. See, the thing is like, I don't know if I want to do, like, music, at least right now. I would love to emulate Anna Kendrick, who sings in movies but doesn't have, you know, like, a record deal. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I would love for that to be what I do. But I have friends who are in the music industry, like Allison Stoner, Megan Nicole, and Jordan, and Ryan McCartan, and I would love to backup sing for them. If they hear this, please. Let me be your backup singer. I would love to do that. So
you got to get hooked up with Disney as well. Then you never know. So, you know, that's the next thing.
Yeah.
So you have all these ideas. Are there any other projects right now going on? I mean, you have all those things we talked about promoting. But anything else, Anna Grace? Definitely some exciting things coming.
Yeah, I guess I could plug a couple things. I'm going to be on the season finale of Faking It, which is the episode is called School's Out, and that should be airing in the next couple weeks. on MTV. And then I'm in an episode of Best Friends Whenever on Disney Channel, which will be airing in January. And so keep a lookout for that, because that episode is so cute. And then also, I actually love doing recipes and cooking and stuff. So my boyfriend and I actually made a YouTube channel called Anna Grace and Taylor. And it is so much fun, and we're just having a blast doing it. And it's really good to make me feel productive when I'm just waiting for auditions and stuff.
Right.
So go check that out, yeah.
And I'm also seeing Anna Grace. I bet you have the singing Disney. I see some big things possible with Disney, and that could lead to ABC. We know how relationships work in this business, so you never know. But it definitely, when you're promoting something, please just make sure you can tag me on my Facebook, or also, you know, tweet me at Total Tutor. Let me know when you're trying to promote some of the big stuff coming up, when it's just
okay,
like one episode and I have no idea. Oh, and in January it's going to happen. Okay, make sure we tweet this out or re-air the interview that we did, because that's the fun thing, because, again, it's when the relevance of what you're doing, for sure. So where are the best places we can find information on you, Anna Grace? Where can we go? What places,
you can,
social media
both,
wise? Yeah.
So my Twitter and my Instagram are both the same. It is at The Real A.G. Barlow, B-A-R-L-O-W.
Okay.
So you can find me Twitter and Instagram, and then I've got a Facebook page that's just Anna Grace Barlow. And go like it, and I keep that really updated. I've been proud of myself that I've remembered to, like, update my Facebook page. So, yeah, those places. Those are the best places to find me.
And then, again, to tune in, to pay attention to what's happening on Fox, again, Scream Queens. What day, what time does that air? Do you know what day that airs, Scream Queens, every week on Fox?
This week there's no Scream Queens because of the World Series, but it's on Fox at 9, 8 Central on Tuesday night.
All right, well, fantastic. So we have to go back to episodes, see when Anna Grace was on, and watch that, and that's going to be one of my homework assignments. And then you can even go back and find the old episodes that you were on and Scream on MTV available still.
I believe so.
Yeah, that would be awesome to look back at that as well. Remember, any content you have, even if it's 3 years, this is a social media tip for you. Any content you have, even if it's like a year and a half old, it keeps you relevant by continuing to post some of that stuff, because your fans might have not known you were in that. And that can lead to new fans and new opportunities. So that's how I do it. Constantly, content is so important. Content is king. And I'm so excited for you. And it was a pleasure.
You
were very, very nice. And you provided some great information, and I want to be a fan of yours by, you know, checking out Scream Queens on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. and really looking forward to some of the other opportunities you have coming forward. So good luck and best of luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Bye. Take care, Anna.
Talk
great
to you soon.
Good talk
Bye.
To you. Thanks. Bye-bye. That was Total Celebrity Show. Take care, guys, and we'll be on tomorrow. Take care, everyone.
We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor. Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, TotalTutor. Pinterest, Neil Haley. And Google Plus, Neil Haley. And this Major League Baseball player, I remember when I was a Yankee fan, and I'm a Pittsburgh guy, but I was a Yankee fan when the Yankees were, I guess, a team that wasn't so hated, before they won all their World Series. I was training to be a professional wrestler in Bricktown, New Jersey, and I lived in Jersey for the summer, and I was listening to the baseball team saying, wow, are the Yankees are coming back? And this guy, Jim Leyritz, he's a player. So that's my story about you, Jim. So I want to welcome the program, two-time World Series champion, Jim Leyritz. Jim, how are you? And that's my story, living in Bricktown, outside Bricktown, New Jersey, listening to you every night playing for the Yankees.
That's a great story. Yeah. Now, thank you for having me. We had some pretty good years here in New York, and there were some thin times when I first came up, but to finally turn it around in '96 and get that team on a roll as far as World Series after World Series, and this upset dynasty was pretty special.
Yeah, and it's amazing when you talk about how you guys started that run, and you know, you were kind of a bottom feeder and then started winning and really got New York energized by your winning, because the Mets kind of always took a little bit of more of a love at certain times before the Yankees tradition before. So to bring that Yankees tradition back, I consider you one of those people that brought it back for sure, especially in the start.
Well, yeah, you know, it was like, again, in 1990, you know, we had just started building from within again. And Gene Michael and Buck Showalter did a great job of giving us young guys who have been down in the farm system for a long time an opportunity. And I was the first one to come up in 90, got off to a pretty good start. Then they brought up Kevin Moss, and slowly everybody started playing better and better. And, you know, then Bernie Williams came along, there's Sterling Hitchcock, Andy Pettit, and everything turned out to be pretty good. And again, we turned that the organization losing into a championship team.
Yeah, you kind of, the way you built the Yankees, and people wouldn't think this, is through the minor leagues in a lot of ways, Jim, just like the Pirates have built their team right now to their winning ways, for sure. So it's amazing. I would never have thought I'd be talking about the Pirates and winning. Well, now I'm used to it for 2 years, so I'm pretty excited. So now, Jim, what you're able to do, and we talked off air and then I visited your website, is you're involved in a lot of great charity work. And I guess paying it forward is an important thing to you, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things, you know, when I spent 3 years going through trial and everything else, but I wasn't able to participate in some of these charities and some of these events, it was probably the most painful thing because of all the things that I had been doing before then. As a player, you know, I was really involved in ALS here in New York, of course, with Luke Gehrig. And then in 2008, my brother-in-law was diagnosed with the same disease. And unfortunately, we lost him in 2010. So I do a lot of stuff with ALS, you know, because it was something that affected my family directly. I also do a lot of stuff with the 9/11 Foundation, which is the Board of Education that we are keeping fighting to get one of these days the 9/11 attacks as part of American history and, you know, possibly a national holiday because of the effect that had on the world. And right now they're not allowing it in history books. They're not allowing it to be, you know, be recognized. And that's something that we're really fighting for as part of the Board of Education to really get that out there. And what we do is we go into the schools and we teach the kids that, you know, maybe don't know about it, what happened that day and why that day was so important in American history.
Jim, and as an educator myself, when I was first being trained as an educator, I remember the 9/11 attacks. I was in Pittsburgh in a training and saw this, and really got to speak to Jody Messina a couple weeks ago on September 11th, and she talked about how the day and remembering that day, and I believe it should be in the history books because a lot of our kids are forgetting about it, Jim, and they're forgetting, they don't remember September 11th, and I definitely believe it should be a national holiday in the history books. And what do you think the reasons are, Jim, from, you know, talking that it's not happening yet?
Well, I don't think it's been recognized enough as how it changed the world. How, you know, we talk about situations that affect maybe a community or city, you know, like the Boston Marathon. But the Boston Marathon bombings are very much similar to 9/11, when 9/11 started. Whereas the terrorists were able to feel like now they can infiltrate the United States. That all is a direct correlation for what happened in 9/11. And to me, again, it was such an impact on the universe that this is not a New York thing. A lot of people in the beginning said, oh, it's a New York thing. You know, it happened in New York. But really, this is the epicenter of the United States. And it's where things really get generated out of. And that event on 9/11 really transformed everything in our society, everything in our world. And it's just for us, that those of us that are part of the board, we just truly believe that it has to be recognized because 13 years later, like you just said, a lot of young people, our next generation, don't know. You know, we did a survey with some of the colleges, and about 42%, 62% of the kids had no idea what 9/11 was. And that's when we knew that we had to take some action to be able to get this into the kids that are younger and in the school days.
Well, whatever way I can help promote it, Jim, reach out to me anytime to promote that, the organization and stuff. And we'll definitely get the website at the end of this because you're doing so much other charity work as well, as I saw working also with because of the Nuketown massacre. And what are you doing to help the people in Newtown?
Yeah, we've just started. This is the beginning of that, working with them. One of the women, the girls that were killed, one of the teachers, the last name is Soto. They have started a charity and foundation And it's something that over the next couple of years, we hope to, you know, develop and to give them support, because they were hit pretty hard, you know, by that tragedy. And, you know, just one of those things for me, you know, just to be able, like you said, to be able to give back, be able to use my name, be able to use, you know, the New York experience that I had here to be able to help people and, you know, just reach out to whoever we can help.
Well, I think that definitely we have to not forget Newtown as well. I mean, to think about those little children being killed.
Yeah.
And never, I remember a massacre like that for a school shooting where truly you wanted to hold my children. I have five kids myself, Jim, and say, you know, hold them tight and say, wow, my wife's a school teacher. And to say, what if that was, and they went into my school, my wife's
yeah.
school. And that changed things as well. My kids were talking about, yes, today about lockdown. And I'm like, what has happened? And this is a Catholic school, Jim, in a very affluent area. But we all have to remember that these things can happen anywhere, and any way we can help make our children more safe in the schools is very important to me, for sure.
No, I agree 100%. 100%.
And then another thing you're involved in is Legends and Valor. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's one of the Wounded Warriors, and it's a division of the Wounded Warriors, which is another strong charity that I'm slowly getting really involved in. About 3 years ago, they had an event down in San Diego. I got a chance to spend some time with some of those guys that had come back from the war and were struggling to get back into society and how to be able to get back to just normal life. And to hear their stories, to hear what they talked about, I never realized, number one, the amount of help that they don't receive. And then some of the things that they go through, that, you know what, this is something, another project or, you know, thing that we can do that we can really help our veterans who have given up so much for us to make their lives or their transition back into society a little bit easier. So very important foundation.
Oh, the definitely, and all those different areas, and I see, as busy as you're talking about different things you're involved in and things like that, you just say, I have to help these organizations out, and my name will help in that process of getting donations, especially when these are very tough times for people to donate. And if they know a great organization is being, you're helping in that process of raising money, I think it's fantastic as well. So what's going on also with Jim Leyritz? Also, you talk about the charity work. Any other projects going on with you currently?
Well, really, actually, I'm just getting ready to restart my career with TV and radio. I took a hiatus for the last couple of years after going through trial, and once the trial was over with, it was a very difficult time for my children as well as everybody. And I spent 3 years, the last 3 years, taking them out to California to get away from everything, get them settled so they can kind of, you know, get back to normal life. And now that I've done that, now they're settled. I have a fiance that I'm getting ready to get married to. And, you know, now I'll be able to get back to work and be able to take care of the family again financially. And I'm looking forward to that. I've got an opportunity possibly with the San Diego Padres, and then also possibly here in New York and other places. So hopefully by January I'll have all that figured out.
How much do you like being involved in the game of baseball? Is that something that you enjoy a lot, being involved with the organizations and stuff and being part of it?
Yeah, it's something I think that, you know, we'll always be with me. I mean, there's two things I know how to do, that I know how to coach baseball and I know how to talk about it. So I'm hoping that, you know, for the next 15, 20 years, that I'll still be around the game, still be part of it, and still be able to, you know, give my knowledge and give my expertise, whether it be as a coach, whether it be as a TV radio personality, and have people enjoy it.
And it's kind of like another start for you, and I can see, I can listen to you and your voice. You're excited about that new start in life, and everyone needs that second chance, as we're seeing with all the crazy things going on in athletics and all that, that it happens, and it's time to move forward and do great things, Jim. So where can we find information on you, learn more about you, and also you're an author as well, so we can purchase your book and learn more about you. Where can we go?
Yeah, I wrote a book called Catching Heat. You can get that through my website, which is jimleyritz.com. I also have a Twitter, which is The Real Jim Leyritz, at The Real Jim Leyritz. And other than that, I do that through my website. You'll have my email. You'll have to be able to get in contact with me. And my website is actually my Facebook is James J. Leyritz. And you're able to get in touch with me through that also.
Well, Jim, I'm glad we connected via LinkedIn and I got to talk to you, and you're doing some tremendous things so our international audience knows what you're doing and helping. So quickly, 1 second, so the website's for the 9/11, where can we find information on that? What website?
The 9/11 Board of Education.